Today we have a special, special guest with us, a doctor that should be really held up in high regard for his dedication to our veteran population and the things that he does to make sure it's sure the health of our people. Dr. Greg Winstead is a board-certified family medicine physician who has lived and practiced on Chicago's South Side for over a decade. He completed a Bachelor's of Science degree at Morehouse College, a Master's of Public Health degree at the University of Michigan, and a Doctor of Medicine degree at the University in Santo Domingo. It's Ibero-American University. And this is the Dominican Republic. I wish he had told me about that. I might have gone down there with him. Dominican Republic. he completed residency training at the Cook County Loyola Provident Family Practice Residency Program. He also holds an HIV specialist certification from the American Academy of HIV Medicine and was a past designated civil surgeon with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. His interests center around the special circumstances of populations of color regarding health outcomes and social experiences in the U.S. and abroad. Welcome, 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 Dr. Winstead. And today we're going to be talking about updates on COVID-19 and vaccinations at the Jesse Brown VA Medical Center. How are you doing today, my brother?
I'm very good, very good. An honor to be with you here, Dr. Damon Arnold and the American Heroes Group.
Yes. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what's going on at the Jesse Brown VA as far as the COVID-19, because I know that's a really critical issue nationally, and we have made some movement towards that, and the VA is actually supplying vaccinations to our service members, our veterans who served all across the country. But what's happening here?
Yeah, so what's happening here, and I'm really, really pleased to be on here today to talk about what's going on. I think just as a little bit of background information, let me just do some brief stats nationally according to CDC. So at this point, there have been 27.2 million cases COVID since the beginning and the recognition of the pandemic. Highest number of cases was on January 8th of 2021 with 314,000 cases. Highest count of deaths due to COVID was on April 15th, 2020, but the second highest highest amount of death rates was on January 4th, 2021. And I think it's important to mention that for people to remember that, though fortunately, we know that CDC has given us the wonderful news that cases and deaths are declining, COVID is still here.
Yes.
It is not a hoax. It is real. Mm-hmm. It is still here. And it has immediate and long-term implications that we need to look at. So just looking nationwide, we see that, let's see here, vaccine rates by race are given, first of all, by sex, vaccines are going mostly to women. Women nationally are 63.2% of people who have received the vaccine so far,
okay,
with men being 36.8%. By race, we see that across the country, our white folks are 63% of those who've gotten the vaccine. Hispanic, Latino, Latina, Latinx are 8.9%. Blacks are African American descent, 6% of those who have received vaccines, and our indigenous populations about 1.7%. So to that end, we are ramping up vaccinations and trying to get folks into different vaccination sites across the country, and certainly at Jesse Brown VA. This is something that is extremely important to us because in our practices at the VA and colleagues around the country and around the world, we have seen the devastating toll that COVID is taking in all of our populations, but particularly the populations at the highest risk, the populations of African descent, African Americans, Afro-Latinos, and the indigenous population, and then with people who have particularly severe chronic illnesses like end-stage renal disease, people on hemodialysis, people with cancers. So at the Jesse Brown VA, we are currently, fortunately, full speed ahead rolling out our recruitment of folks in Category 1B to get the vaccine. So due to supply and demand, it's been necessary to kind of categorize the people who get the vaccines first, second, third, and so forth. That's not what we want. We want everybody vaccinated. But just due to supply and logistics, we've had to kind of break it up. So 1A category were the frontline health providers, physicians, nurses, those on the front line. 1B are folks 65 years of age and older, and then folks with chronic health conditions and frontline workers. So at Jesse Brown, we're currently enrolling people to come in who are 65 years and older, those who have end-stage renal disease on dialysis, cancer, organ transplant patients of any age, and then the CDC-defined essential frontline workers. So just briefly, I got some great stats from my colleague, Mr. Stephen Miller, over there in our public affairs, resourceful guy on the spot. So today we've vaccinated 8,500 veterans and staff within our facility. We're vaccinating at a rate of 400 to 500 per day.
Wow.
That is pretty impressive.
That is.
If you think about everything it takes to orchestrate a vaccine rollout. With regard to racial breakdown at Jesse Brown, folks of African descent have been 52% of the people who have gotten vaccine, and our white colleagues are 41%. And so we are offering those vaccines to people who fit the categories, who are our patients already in primary care, and to veterans who are not in primary care. We have resources and a connection line that they can call to get themselves on the schedule to find out how to go about getting enrolled in care and thereby be stratified for vaccine.
Oh, fantastic. It sounds like they're doing a lot of good work there. And, you know, one of the things that people sometimes ask is, you know, can you get the, you know, virus from the vaccine? And what would be your reply to that?
Yes, you know, I'm so glad you asked that question, because that is part of what we talk about when we hear so much about mistrust in the medical arena, mistrust in public health, simply because of historical and current experiences that people have. So one of the things that I'm very pleased to report is that with the CDC information, it is not possible to get COVID disease from the messenger RNA vaccines. So the messenger RNA vaccines are a different technology. They're actually not brand new. They have been used in other vaccine research for other vaccines. But with regard to this current emergency in which we find ourselves, very, very good mechanism, a new mechanism. The most common question I get, Doc, is when patients come into my office and I am pushing this vaccine like 40 going north, I am not playing with it. The most common question I get is, well, Doc, you know, how do I know that I'm not going to get COVID if I get the vaccine? Is it safe? So with the messenger RNA vaccines, what happens is that, unlike in other vaccines, even in the flu shot, when we give like a killed or inactivated virus, we introduce that into you. We introduce that into kids. I get my flu vaccine every year, like clockwork. This is different because we are not injecting the SARS-CoV-2 or the coronavirus into you. We're taking a tiny piece of the internal genetic material, right, and injecting that into your body so that when it's incorporated into our own cells are tricked into mimicking proteins from the virus so that our bodies recognize ourselves as the virus, even though they're not, and thereby create antibodies to destroy them. So mm-hmm. and really, you would definitely have to talk to our colleagues over there in ID, yeah. infectious diseases, and immunology to talk about the full process. Mm-hmm. But no, the short answer is no, you cannot get COVID from the messenger RNA vaccine.
Right. And it's been the technology has been around for 20 years, and then we have the technology has advanced very rapidly, just like our iPhones have. We also have telecommunications. It's easier for the scientists to communicate with each other. I think this is probably the most watched vaccine in the history of vaccines. You have people all around the world. You were watching this every step of the way. And so it wasn't rushed. You know, a lot of administrative hurdles and roadblocks were taken out of the way in vaccine being produced. And, we weren't supposed to be taking calls, but there's one caller who wanted to ask a question. A brief question, and that is Chuck, a veteran from Oak Park. How are you doing, Chuck?
Yes, blessing to you, gentlemen. I'm in category. Oh, I'm not in category three, category two, but I want to know whether there are waivers if I am if I have preconditions and under that age. Two is that I'm a Jesse Brown. That's where my primary care doctor is. And I've been there a few times for appointments, and I know the lines are empty. There are no lines there at Jesse Brown, so I don't know whether they're coming there to get the shots or not. And three, is there any way to find out which vaccine does the VA do? Is there the vaccine, is it Moderna or Pfizer or AstraZeneca?
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you asked that question, because I'm sure that many veterans around our area have that question. There is a contact number that we can provide for you so that you can call in to find out about specifics about your getting the vaccine and your inclusion in this group 1B. So I can make those through Dr. Arnold. We can make that number available to you. The VA does have both the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. No others at this point. We do not have the Johnson & Johnson's at this point, right, until that has been fully rolled out. So at this point right now, we are giving the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines.
So he can go to, like, you have a general number like jessebrownva.gov or...
Yes. Hold on one second. Let me pull. I just had that right in front of me.
But a good question, Chuck. Thank you very much for that question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, as you're looking for that, one of the things that also people ask, you know, are the vaccines, you know, what are the side effects of a vaccine and what are the common things that I can experience? I had the vaccine actually myself exactly 1 week ago for the first dose. And I had a little bit of soreness in my, you know, in my left arm. I did it in my left because I was going to use my right to do everything else, drive and, you know, write and all right. that kind of thing. But it just lasted less than a day. And
yes, right.
So I feel fine, had no other side effects at all. And so most commonly, I guess, is a little swelling, a little bit of mm-hmm. soreness in the area, and maybe a little bit of redness. But other than that, you know, maybe you can talk about the side effects and, you know, what people can expect.
Yes, absolutely. And I did find that number if you want it now.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes.
So for folks who are already involved in primary care at Jesse Brown, that's 312-569-5801. Okay. And for veterans who are not yet enrolled in primary care but want to be enrolled, they can go to www.chicago.va.gov. And then click on the tab that says Becoming a Patient.
Okay, good.
Okay, great. Now, some of the side effects, just like you, you know, I've had both of my vaccines, and I did get them at Jesse Brown, and I really felt compelled to do that there. That's where I work. I believe in our work at Jesse Brown. I've seen nothing but good, committed folks around the entire center. Side effects from the vaccine range from zero, nothing at all, mm-hmm. to a little bit more aggressive side effects. Like mm-hmm. you, when I got my vaccine, I think after I got my first vaccine, within an hour, I had just a little soreness in my left arm, like you, mm-hmm. at the site of injection.
Yes.
About an hour after that, I had a very tiny feeling of feverishness. Mm-hmm. But when I checked my temperature, it really wasn't elevated.
Right.
So drank some water, took some Tylenol. I was good. After my second vaccine, I did feel a little fatigued. I did get a measurable fever. Drank juices, chicken soup, fever reducers, got some sleep, which I needed anyway. And by the end of 24 hours, just as you hear across the country, really it's about 24 hours and most folks are good. And that's what happened with me. And no side effects since then at all.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And I think that's what happens with many of the cases. I think there was actually a study because they have the vaccine adverse events reporting system as part of the whole vaccination program. And they had about 34 million doses given of the vaccine and only had 21 people who had actually any kind of severe allergic reaction, and all of them are living right now.
Absolutely.
Treated for it, and so no deaths, associated with the vaccine is, at this point, so we know of. One thing, we have just one more caller, and Kareem, just ask a question. We have a very limited amount of time, but go ahead and ask your question very quickly.
Okay, I'll make it as brief as possible.
Yes, sir.
Hello to both of you guys.
Thank you.
Hello.
And I'm a pretty big critic about the COVID-19 saga that's going on, so I just want to let you guys know that first.
Uh-huh.
And the question to the doctor is, there's I think there's four or five states where that have the highest number of death rate for COVID-19. I won't go into that number right now. Mm-hmm. Here in New York, where I live, we're hearing this, I call it propaganda, of blacks being the number one victim of the highest death rate, mm-hmm. when in fact it's nursing home patients.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my first question. Why are these numbers being construed when, in fact, more individuals that die from COVID or supposed COVID are actually nursing home individuals? Mm-hmm. Number two, why is it the treatment for a disease such as COVID worse than the disease itself? I'll listen off the air.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, one of the things I know, Dr. Winstead, is that, about 98% of the deaths are happening to people 40 years or older. We are starting to see more disease in young people, and we don't know what the long-term effects of these is going to be in people as well, and especially if they already have underlying chronic medical conditions. And as you said, African Americans were 3.8 times, according to a CMS report, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, 3.8 times more likely to be hospitalized than whites, their counterparts. Also, Latinos was 2.1 times, and when you get down to the Asian category, about 1.5 times is more likely. But if you had renal dialysis and you have end-stage renal disease, 11 times more likely. So,
yes.
With these chronic diseases, we know that it's devastating, and we do know it has a disparate impact on the communities that you were speaking about.